Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We are finally through the trade deadline, and what a deadline it was. We're gonna have a week to process all this before we get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out to the Beaumont. I will have the Lucky Sevens doublers as well as the whammy with Press Your Luck. Mike Elias pressed his luck all day on Thursday. Luke Jones joins us now for all things residue. The first night was the Urias and Kittredge exits, which were a little shocking, a little strange with team control. And then there was everything that followed leading up to the trade deadline, which nothing shocking here, except that they don't have a lot of baseball team left, Luke, and that has been pointed out by all Oriole fans.
Well, the entire young core is still intact. So I think we need to point that out before people want to jump to conclusions and say, oh, they're just entering another rebuild. I mean, I don't think that's the case. I think, and we can not so much dive into the specific players. I mean, we're talking about 16 minor leaguers when you count the draft pick for Brian Baker that they've added to their farm system. Some names are more interesting than others. Some names, I think, are legitimate prospects that are going to make their way up their system. But I think a lot of this is going to be what is going to happen this offseason. Is this more and more inventory that they've restocked their farm system with what they still had left in their system? And it's not as though their system had nothing left. It's not as though they'd graduated all their prospects, but you've now added inventory. And I think for me, the big question is, do we see a lot of this flipped in the offseason for starting pitcher or relievers, which obviously they're going to, we talked about it as we were kind of just looking at the Kittredge trade in the wake of Dominguez and Soto and Baker earlier this month. So I think there's still a lot more of that going on than just looking at this at face value, because say what you want about these names, and there's some really interesting names that they came away with. I mean, especially the San Diego trade where they send O'Hearn and Laureano. I mean, Boston Bateman, I think, was the Padres' number three or number four prospect. Now, he's 19 years old, so he's not exactly someone who's going to be making his major league debut anytime soon. But guys like him, whether they're part of the system that they want to keep a pipeline long term, I mean, that was what Mike Elias sold everyone on 5 years ago, right? Or will it be other guys that they now trade, and you make some trades this offseason in addition to spending money? And keep in mind, money's come off the books with some of these deals. Although I'll point out, they did throw in cash in some of these deals to kind of sweeten the return as well. So, if there's a silver lining, that was good to see, rather than it just being pure salary dumps across the board, if you're looking at it from a more cynical lens. But, I think most of this wasn't shocking, right? I mean, I think it was bittersweet saying goodbye to Cedric Mullins, but we've known for weeks that Cedric Mullins was going to be one of the players dealt, right? I mean, we'll remember him fondly. He'll be an Orioles Hall of Famer one day. And, I mean, he was one of the early faces of the rebuild. You feel a certain kind of way about Ryan O'Hearn and Ramon Urias as two guys who came to Baltimore in complete anonymity and became really useful players for a couple playoff teams.
And also got him some young talent. So that's
Sure,
one of the
sure.
things about signing Kittredge and getting rid of him is, well, we got some players. So
Right.
Soto, Dominguez, they dealt for them last year from the bottom of their deck, and now got something back for them, organizational depth, whatever it would be, the money side of it. Look, they thought they were going to win this year. They spent a lot of money. Mr. Rubenstein would tell you he spent a lot of money this year that did not come back in ticket sales. It did not come back in victories. It has not come back in club seat sales or any of that. There's been a dumped investment this year. And the notion that Ryan O'Hearn would wind up getting that, like that Santander would wind up getting $90 million and they wind up getting picks out of it. These were Rule 5 draft picks. These were bag of beans on the side of the road that nobody wanted, that a couple of years later you got productivity and then you got some semblance of reward when they left, right? They get something back. So I don't know. I mean, from an asset management, top to bottom, the way Mr. Rubenstein would see asset management, he'll look around and see these 15, 16 young players and other players running around and saying, well, we got rid of eight players from the opening day roster, right? Did I do the math right? Eight?
No, not well. Counting Baker, nine. I mean, you're talking. Well, I get Kittredge wasn't on the opening day roster because he was hurt, but it was nine major leaguers that they sold off over the course of July. I mean, so you get 16 minor leaguers. And again, I still think a driving force here is going to be these guys or other players that are in their system because they've gotten these guys. I think you're going to see guys moved. I mean, that's what I'm hoping. I sure as heck am not going to sit here and accept that it's another rebuild because I don't think it is. And we touched on this a little bit in our previous conversation. When you do look at the type of players, the type of prospects that they had coming back, the fact that of the 16, man, even if we want to say the threshold is that they are ready to play in the majors next year, you're only talking about a fraction. I mean, you're not talking, I'd say 11, 12, 13 of these guys are at least a couple years away. That's where I'm looking at this and saying, okay, first of all, that should be a tell that Mike Elias, I don't think, is going anywhere at the end of the year. Again, who knows? But think about it in contrast to Dan Duquette in the 2018 trade deadline, where, okay, they sold off players, but they also, like, Jonathan Villar came back, for example. He was a major league player. They brought him, and he was hung around in Baltimore for a year or so after that. You didn't see them acquire anyone like that. So to me, that's a sign of someone who, whether he's gotten directly a vote of confidence from ownership or whether he's operating under an assumption, right or wrong, that he's going to be back and continue to be the general manager, the moves seem to reflect that. And like I said, the moves also seem to reflect, that you were trying to get the best value, not necessarily guys that were going to help you directly for next year. And that's where I look at this thing and say, okay, maybe this is just more inventory for them to go out and make two or three trades this offseason. And let me parse that by saying I'm not sitting here saying that these guys that these 16 players that came back are going to be alone enough to get you an ace and maybe a high leverage reliever or whatever, but they can be part of packages, right? And then we get into the discussion about, do they consider trading a member of the young core over the winter? But the Colton Cowser exercise that you and I bring up at least once in every conversation, whether it's him or Rutschman or whoever, right? I mean, who knows? So I think that's kind of my general first impression. When you look at the nine players that they traded, the easy ones were the expiring contracts, right? We knew they were going to move Soto. We knew they were going to move Dominguez. We knew they were going to move Mullins, no matter how bittersweet it feels, because he's a homegrown player who was an all-star and the successor to Adam Jones and all of that. We knew they were going to move O'Hearn. Morton, right at the deadline, right? I mean, I guess he was probably the Tigers' fallback plan, right? I mean, that, they didn't get, they got a guy who actually looks like he's an interesting relief prospect, who maybe could be in the majors next year. It was a college draftee, has pretty good numbers this year, not ready to pitch in the majors just yet. I probably, and I wasn't alone in this, I probably overestimated what Morton's value would be. Not that I thought they were going, didn't think they were going to get anything crazy for him, but the return was a little more modest. But hey, you got something, a little bit, I assume a little bit of what's owed to him comes off the books, although they did send a little cash in that deal as well. Maybe you got someone who's a bullpen arm for you the second half of next year, who's interesting in that way. But
Laureano's interesting to give him
well,
away.
and I was just going to say, well, they didn't give him away. I mean, they traded him. They packaged him with O'Hearn, and they got six players from the Padres system. And obviously, the Padres were one of the big stories. I mean, the Mason Miller deal was just massive,
Well, we
right?
talked about that last year at the
Yeah, I mean, we,
deadline here. Yeah.
well, but we talk and we talked about how rarely you see a team trade a guy that was widely regarded as a top five prospect in all of baseball, and they dealt him in that trades. But even with that, I mean, the Orioles, in the deal for O'Hearn and Laureano, they got the Padres' number four prospect, their number six prospect, their number 12 prospect, and their number 29 prospect, and then two other guys. For a rental And for Laureano, who, yeah, was there, I don't know, I don't want to say it was surprising because we talked about the possibility, but it wasn't a fait accompli like the other five guys that I mentioned. He was the guy where you said, hey, you need to be getting back something that you think is worth it because, hey, he's got a team option for next year. In what was a bitterly disappointing, poor offseason, Laureano was easily the best signing, right? I mean, he was a great signing for what, $4 million, $4.5 million, whatever it
And the
was.
Padres have identified him as a veteran pile diver.
Sure. As a guy that's going to help them make a, make a playoff run, and that he also will be in their picture for next year. So that's where I think, if you had told me that the Orioles would dealt nine players, if we were talking about this 6 weeks ago, because we were talking about the likelihood of this 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago. I mean, that's how bad this season has been. If you had told me nine players, I wouldn't have necessarily guessed that four of them were guys that were either under club control for next year or carried a team option for next year. When we're talking Baker, talking Arias, Kittredge, and of course Laureano. To me, I think Arias, we touched on this in our previous conversation. I think for what he was and what he was making and where the role has changed, a couple years ago, Arias, even if he wasn't necessarily an everyday starter, he was your fifth starter, right? And they played five guys in the infield, or throw in Mateo, played six guys in the infield semi-regularly. His role was changing, right? Now, Westberg has to stay healthy. These infielders have to stay healthy. But I think it was clear that in an ideal scenario, Ramon Arias wasn't going to play three or four times a week anymore, right? And I think we were starting to see that over the last month, even. So when you look at it through that lens, they do have some guys at AAA that I think fit the mold of utility types. And who knows who we're going to see? I mean, another interesting factor to this, Nestor, is they're going to be playing a series at Wrigley this weekend, Friday afternoon. They've got six roster spots to fill. So, I assume Mountcastle coming off the IL is going to be one of those. And he'll take O'Hearn's spot, and Cobie Mayo and him will handle first base and DH most days. I think that's what we're going to
Well, this
see
is going to be
there.
like a spring training roster the
Yeah,
rest
it's
of
going
the
to be
way.
strange. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of evaluation going on. And, we're Dylan Beaver's watch is on, whether it's now or soon. Samuel Basayo watch is obviously on, whether it's, probably not now, but sometime in August. And we're going to see about some of these other guys. We talked about some of these relievers. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and Buffalo you would try to blow smoke and say that, man, I really love Wolfram and I really love Cade Stroud and Elvin Rodriguez and Houston Roth and Corbin Martin, but maybe one or two of those guys shows enough where you say, hey, as my seventh or eighth man in the bullpen, I'll take them to spring training and write their name in pencil because they did a heck of a job the last 2 months, right? Maybe we'll see some other guys in that mix. I mean, I assume now with Morton being out of the rotation, and we'll get to Eflin in a moment because I think there's some interesting discussion there. But Young's back in the rotation because Eflin's on the IL again. But we're going to see Cade Povich back in the rotation, right? For the time being, at least. And we'll see that be the five because Sagano is still there. Obviously, Trevor Rogers is now the. It kind of had become the de facto ace anyway, right? I mean, with how well he's
Dude,
pitched.
stop that. You just said a year to the
I said
day that they dealt for him, he's the
de
ace.
facto ace. De facto ace is a di but hey,
Well, where's numbers the last eight or
he's
nine
pitched his butt
starts?
off, right? I mean, and part of that is also these next 2 months. Does he continue that? Now, he's not going to continue a 1.5 ERA. I think we all understand that. But can he continue to look the part of, hey,
Koufax?
I don't know. Well, sure. I don't know where I'm going to slot them, and I don't really have this need to go one, two, three, four, five, because I mean, I don't know who the five are, let alone the
Right, I
order.
just need to count to five next
But
April. That's all I need to do. You have to convince me there are five.
and I feel good enough about him being in that five in the
And
way
right
that,
now, Cade Povich isn't one of them, but 8 weeks from now, he might be, right? And that's how
I
this
mean,
works.
right
Right
now,
now, Bradish isn't one of them until I see it.
sure, right.
Rodriguez isn't one of them, even though they dream it.
I think there's one guy that you'd have enough conviction to say that he's one of them. Dean Kramer. I mean, and that's not to say he's going to be your opening day starter or you want him to be, but that's about the only known commodity right now that has a track record to say, okay, he's going to be one of the five most likely. So you hope you have enough options that maybe you can push him out at some point, but that's the reality. But I just think on the pitching side, look, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly a lot of nights. And they're probably not going to, they're what, 9 games under 500 right now. I mean, they're going to have to really, really hit the ball to do anything close to keeping up that, even that pace for the rest of the year, right? I mean, I think that's just the reality. But you do have different arms, new names. Bradish will be returning if all goes well in the next 3.5 weeks,
Dude, the
something
old
like
names
that.
to put him in last place. Like,
Well, and that's part of it too. Like, and that's
I'm not married to the 25
no.
roster or the
No.
23 or
Well,
24 roster.
and that's part of what, and look, I think so much of this just stems from fans just being frustrated and ticked off, and they have every right to be. This season is easily, if not the most disappointing in franchise history, it's easily one of the
I don't know what
very,
could be more disappointing than
yeah, I
being
mean,
last place when you should have been a contender.
I mean, I'm
I
just,
mean,
I,
like, that has never happened in all the years I've been on radio because Angelos assured that they would suck every year. We never had any hope.
well,
Around here, this certainly felt differently. That's all.
yeah, and I mean, obviously you can go, I mean, like 1967, for example, they're coming off of a World Series. They went 76-85. I mean, that was disappointing, but it's a different era, a different game, right? I mean, different business model, all that. So it's right up there if it's not the absolute worst, right? Not worst, most disappointing, right? I mean, obviously they've had worse seasons in terms of wins and losses, but they've got to take this time now to find out and to evaluate. And okay, you decided Ramon Laureano, you wanted to pair him with Ryan O'Hearn and sweeten the pot with a deal with San Diego. That's fine, but now you've got another question there. I mean, that was my thing about Kittredge. It's not that I think Andrew Kittredge is this amazing reliever that they couldn't afford to lose. I mean, part of what hurt them early in the season was he was unavailable for 2 months, right? It hurt their bullpen early on. But it's another item to add to the grocery list. I mean, right now they're outfield. Colton Cowser is going to play center field every day, I think, because I think they want to really evaluate and see what that looks like. Say what you want about his offensive profile, and look, I want to see him walk more. I mean, people talk about the strikeouts, and I'll hear that, but the walk rate is cratered, and that's a way bigger problem to me than the strikeout, the swing and miss. So, but he's going to play center field. I assume we're going to see Dillon Beavers at some point in time. Now, he can play center as well, so maybe he plays there a little bit more. They're going to look at Dylan Carlson. I mean, he's on the roster right now. He's going to play some. So we're going to kind of see what that looks like. So there's going to be some evaluation there that, they might need to go out and make another signing like Ramon Laureano this past winter and hope for the best in that regard. Or maybe they aim higher. I don't know. But you're looking at that. Obviously, they're going to be evaluating Mayo. They're going to be evaluating Basayo, assuming he arrives at some point in time here over the next month.
Well, they're also hoping that their big five all
Yeah.
like
See better from them.
hit
Sure.
300, hit some
Sure.
doubles, hit some home runs, play good defense, look the part of first round draft, look the part of a core that can help this team win a championship.
Yeah. Well, and I
That's
think
all.
that part of the hard truth of this, and you've heard me talk about this. I mean, going back to April and May, I was talking about some of my disappointment. I mean, Adley Rutschman's been a major target for the disappointment over the last calendar year, right? Because he hasn't played anywhere close to where he was in 2023 or the first half of 24, or even going back to his rookie year. But I think part of the hard truth here, and I don't think Tony Mancelino is the guy to deliver this message, but if the Orioles had, I don't know, a younger version of Buck Showalter as their manager at the moment, you know what the message would kind of be? And I'm going to go a little wrestling on you here. This is a little part promo, but also hard truth. Guys, look around the clubhouse right now. Look around this roster right now. Look at who's all gone now. Go back to last year. Austin Hayes is gone. Anthony Santander is gone. Don't tell him, but Ryan Mountcastle's probably going to be non-tendered or traded this winter, I'm guessing.
He would have been gone if he had any value yesterday.
Yeah, because if he hadn't been hurt and all that, I'm guessing. I don't know this, so I'm not going to try to fake that I have some kind of tip here or anything. I'm guessing the Orioles asked around a little bit to see if anyone would take him. take them off their hands for a couple 17-year-old Dominican lottery tickets or something like that, right? I mean, but that didn't happen. But to the young core, look around, guys. What's left? You guys, like, you're left. And I hate to break it to you, but you've got to own your part of this for 2025 as well. You know, no disrespect to, you know, injuries stink, but availability is part of the game. And you guys need to be productive. You know, you're not all in Holiday aside, maybe, and he's the one who's had the least problem, right? I mean, he's been the one where you'd say all year the arrow trended up, but you guys have underperformed. It's been disappointing. You know, Adley Rutschman, you're 27 years old now. Gunnar Henderson, you haven't had a bad year. Certainly not a bad year in a vacuum, but where's the guy that was the MVP candidate the first half of last year? You know, where have the home runs gone? I've already mentioned Colton Cowser. What's happened to the approach at the plate? You're not drawing any walks anymore. In addition to swinging and missing as much as you do. You know, Westberg, we love you, man, but you just got to stay on the field. You know, I mean, he's performed. Look at his numbers. I think his numbers over a full season, you'd be perfectly fine with where Jordan Westberg is right now, I think. You know, Coby Mayo, the time is now for you. So you kind of look at this thing and say, guys, you look at each other. You're all you've got right now. The veteran, you know, the Mullins, Santander, Austin Hayes kind of tier of guys, they're gone now. So it's going to be up to you. And look, front office needs to do a heck of a lot of work this offseason. This isn't all on you, let's be clear. But you've got to own the part that you've got to own. And you guys underperformed. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of those guys that you might like aren't here anymore. So, you know, that for me, these next 2 months, I want to see those guys perform. And obviously the big focus is going to be on the completely unproven, like Mayo and Bisaio when he arrives, Beavers when he arrives. But you know, that's not to say that Adley Rutschman still doesn't need to get something out of these next 2 months. You know, even if you're of the thought that rebuild your value and maybe the Orioles entertain
Where are
trading
you
them.
with him, by the way? You have anything to say about him with Settinger too?
I mean, it's so tough. I mean, he obviously is hurt, and I don't want to pick on someone who's on the IL, but man, I want to see the guy he was a couple years ago. Not saying and that guy wasn't going to win an MVP, but he was still really, really valuable to the point where he drew some MVP votes, you know, further down the list. But I want to see that guy again. You know, I'm going to see the guy that's a doubles machine. And, you know, in fairness, Monday night, his first game back, he had a couple
You
doubles.
said he wasn't going to win an MVP, but I mean, he's Buster Posey on that day, right? I mean, on the day he's
I
supposed
mean,
to be, right?
at the very least, I'd like him to be the perennial all-star that we thought he was going to be. I mean, the guy that he's been over the last year is, you know, more league average and just fine. I mean, his defense has been better this year than it was second half of last year. So that was good to see. His offense hasn't been as bad this year as it was the second half of last year, but man, talking that's a really low bar that I'm referencing there. So, you know, I want to see Adley Rutschman one stay healthy the rest of the year and look more like Adley Rutschman. And we talked about this when he got hurt. June had been his best month he had had in a really long time at the plate. You know, Gunnar Henderson, I want to see the power. I still wonder, and this isn't an excuse, but I think it's reality because you and I talked about this back in March. He had a rib cage issue. I'm not saying he's not healthy in that he's playing full-blown hurt, but when you have an injury to your core like that in the midst of ramping up for a season and even cutting in the beginning of your season, I wouldn't be shocked to hear the reality that it zapped him of his power some. And maybe the idea is, hey, get through the rest of the offseason. You have a healthy offseason. Can strength train a little bit more, get some of your strength back, and he's back to hitting 35 home runs next year, right? I mean,
Well, that's the thing with like even Tyler O'Neill, that like if you could
sure.
squeeze 120 healthy games out of him next year, he might hit 30 home
I mean,
runs.
he's going to be here, right? I mean, they're not going to be able to trade him, and I'm not. I see people. No, they're not going to DFA him, and no, they shouldn't DFA him. Now, if he's not hitting a year from
He's
now,
not Chris Davis yet,
yeah,
right?
I mean, he hit 30. They signed him to be, honestly, they signed him to be the guy that he's looked like over the last week, which is he's hit home runs in what, four straight games that he had played, and kind of has looked like the guy you thought he might be. Now, that said, I'm not just saying, oh, well, he's my cleanup hitter next year, right? I mean, I'm not saying that at all. But the point is, and we saw this with this played out with Morton, right? I mean, Morton was a disaster, absolute disaster the first 6 weeks of the season. After that, he was quite good. Now, not saying that makes up for it or that gives Mike Elias a check mark that, hey, that was a good signing. No, you have to look at the whole body of work. But the point is, just because Tyler O'Neill year one has been a disaster, or 4 months into year one has been a total disaster, that doesn't mean that
Trevor
the
Rogers was a disaster
yeah,
for a minute,
exactly. I'm
too.
glad you said it. You just took the words right out of my mouth. Trevor Rogers, even 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we were saying, what an absolute disaster. And that's even acknowledging like Kyle Stowers being a stud in Miami this year. But that trade, even if you're never going to win it, if Kyle Stowers, if this is truly who he is for the next 5 or 6 years, yeah, the Orioles lost that trade. There's no doubt about it. But if Trevor Rogers can be a really useful piece of the rotation the rest of this year and next year, and then you see what happens after that, because he'll be a free agent, whether you re-sign him or what,
You know,
or
part of that is neither one of these teams are winning the World Series this year, or probably next year either. So, these are
yeah.
just pieces and they're parts, and they're all subject to how they taste today.
Yeah,
You
well,
know, and Trevor Rogers smells real good today. Heston Kjerstad does not. Kyle Stowers does. Adley Rutschman doesn't. If you would have told me that Kyle Stowers would be the better player in the summer of 2025, you would have convinced me of that last
you
May.
would have said it was nuts.
Nuts,
So
nuts,
you don't know. And
right.
look, we touched on this
And if I
earlier
would have
this.
told you that Bradish and Rodriguez were, if I that night when they were trying to throw me out of Arlington, which is what, 21 months ago, if I would have told you that night that Rodriguez and Bradish were just not going to get the post, just not going to get there, just not going to make it to the mound, like you would have not believed that. You know
Yeah.
that would have been that. They just lost Batiste at the time. They hadn't dreamed of Burns. I mean, they've been through a lot of
They
chops
have.
here.
Well,
They've
and
been through a lot of players, a lot of pitchers, a lot of chances, a lot of Mortons, a lot of Suarezes, a lot of Saganos, a lot of, just a lot of it. And Dean
what
Kramer's still upright.
and this is where I will slightly, because I want to make I don't want this to come across that I'm a Mike Elias apologist, because I think you know that I'm not. I've been critical of him at times going back 2 or 3 years ago, right? I mean, he's not perfect, and boy, the pressure is on. I mean, his seat should be on fire this offseason, that he's got to fix this thing, or then he should be gone. I mean, it's just that simple. But I think we can go back to last offseason. How many people wanted to re-sign Corbin Burns? Tommy John surgery has been gone since what, May? Whenever, May or June, whatever it was. They would have been in big trouble, right? And you'd be facing the prospects of not having him next year or most of next year. Anthony Santander, plenty of Orioles fans wanted to re-sign him. He's been a total bust in year one with Toronto. It almost, as bad as Tyler O'Neill for the Orioles in year one. I'll throw myself under the bus here. I talked a lot about what was the guy, who was the guy that I wanted them to take a flyer on, albeit an expensive one, Walker Buehler. Go look at what his ERA is for the Red Sox. He hasn't been very good. Blake Snell has made two starts all year long, right? So there are scenarios that Orioles fans and pundits clamored for loudly that you could argue the Orioles would be in just as big of a mess and maybe tied, locked down and tied to more money, long-term locked into with some of the other scenarios. I mean, it's just sometimes it happens in baseball, and it's not to absolve everyone. Sometimes you just have a lost year. I mean, we've seen it with the Ravens, even on occasion. 2015 comes to mind, 2021 comes to mind. They were so injured, and you get one too many injuries to the wrong position, and before you know it, you're losing games to the Browns, right? You're falling apart. So again, it's not to excuse them, and it's not to excuse bad decisions that Mike Elias made, or things that he didn't do that he needed to do. But it is a full recognition of things can snowball, and sometimes things don't go the way you plan. And you can even have plans that you really like on paper, that lots of fans would have preferred the Orioles to do, and those things wouldn't have worked out. So But we touched on this briefly, and not that we gave a whole lot of oxygen to taking 3 out of 4 from the Blue Jays, because obviously the all focus was on the trade deadline. But Nestor, where were the Blue Jays a year ago? They were in complete disarray. We were talking about the Blue Jays in the way we're talking about the Orioles right now. Blue Jays are in first place
But
this year.
their pitching blossomed, their hitting came to life, their
Of
young
course.
players, they had young players come
Guys
on.
bounce
And
back.
you know what?
Yeah.
If Westberg and Rutschman and Anderson look the part of all-stars for the first 3 months next year and they get some pitching, they're going to need pitching, dude. At
Oh,
the
no
end of the
question.
day, they're going to need pitching.
This is not me saying everything is fine. They have a lot of work
They're
to
a
do this
last-place
offseason.
team until you tell
Yeah.
me different. And they look the part now. Like,
But the Blue
now that
Jays are
they've
gonna.
been gutted like a fish.
Oh, sure. But
Yeah.
to your point, they were in last place with those guys, and 5 of those guys were on expiring deals, and a couple other guys, Brian Baker. Have you seen Brian Baker's numbers for the Rays? I think his ERA is like 9 or 10. I mean, he's really struggled. I saw Soto give one up for the Mets the other night. I mean, it's these aren't core players, right? I mean, the closest you can argue was, Laureano because of the team option. Arias had another year, but I mean, these aren't the guys that are the defining variables of whether you're going to win the World Series next year. Forget that. Just be back in playoff contention next year, right? So, but the Blue Jays last year, they were 74-88. Everyone wanted to fire John Schneider. Everyone was questioning their front office. Remember, they had had, they were the kept being the runner up. They were considered the runner up for Ohtani and all of that. But they were bad last year, and everyone kind of thought, wow, everyone thought the Blue Jays 3 years before that or 4 years before that were going to be the next big thing, in the same way we thought about the Orioles 2 years ago. And it fell apart, but they were able to put it back together. So that's going to be the challenge for Mike Elias. I mean, good luck. There's a lot to do. Not saying it's impossible, because they do have a lot to work with here in terms of young talent that either will get better or are potentially some guys that you can trade. And they've replenished their minor league inventory. Their system looks better, certainly now, than it did 2 months ago, let's say. And we're going to see how this plays out. He's going to have to be aggressive. He's going to have to take some chances. And you know what? In a general sense, they're going to have to get lucky in some ways, in the same fashion that they were unlucky in some ways this year. When you look at the fact that, they've had what an entire roster worth of players that have spent time on the IL this year. I mean, there's only so much planning you can do for that, right? I mean, you get to the point where next man up's a t-shirt slogan after a while. And that's not to say they shouldn't look at their strength and conditioning and their training and all these different things that might explain or might be able to curtail some of that, whether they need to make some adjustments and some changes in that way. But, I've said it, I'm not going to change now. I certainly, there's nothing about this trade deadline that drastically changes my mind about this. There is a pathway for them to absolutely get back on track next year and be a team that's, we're seeing it doesn't take much to be in the wild card race, right? I
I mean,
mean,
could they be 10 games over 500 the rest of the way with this mess? I don't know. I don't think so. I
probably
don't
not with
think
the
they've left
pitching.
themselves what, they're
Yeah.
not going to win games the rest of the
No,
way,
and
even if Gunnar Henderson hits 321 the
let me
rest
be
of the
clear.
way.
I'm referring to next year, right? I'm referring to when I say get back
Well,
on
I'm just
track.
saying, like, what they're going to look like the next 8 weeks so that we can have confidence for what
Well,
next year looks like. It's going to be very inventory related
sure.
in regard to. Is Bradish back? Where is Rodriguez with a knife? What happened to Batista this week?
Where's Tyler Wells?
All of the guys, like all the guys, where's Mayo? Is he a guy they're going to put in the lineup next year? Or are they going to curse at him? I don't
Yeah,
know.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of that. And, that part of it is going to feel very rebuild era-esque, because I know not everyone was paying attention back then, but in 2021, you could see Cedric Mullins is going to be a guy for them for the next 5 years. You could see it because he was playing at that kind of level. I mean, I've been very encouraged by what I've seen from Kobe Mayo the last week or so when they've been playing him more regularly.
Santander got a $100 million contract that,
Yeah.
it came from nowhere, right?
Sure.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn, they got for cash, right? They're going to need to continue to do those types of things. I mean, Ramon Arias was playing in the Mexican League. I mean, this he talk about a guy that was a complete unknown, and he ended up being a really useful player for the better part of 5 years. So they need to continue to do those things as well, and they will, because you know the smartest general managers and front offices love to do those things because that shows off how smart they are, and it's good business, right? Because they're minimum no risk and potential at least moderate reward when you have guys like that. So you know the rest of the season is going to be very at times painful, but I also think it's going to be really interesting in some ways. I certainly am very much looking forward to seeing Bisaio. I'm very much looking forward to seeing Mayo every day. I'm looking forward to seeing Dylan Beavers. I want to see what Colton Cowser looks like in center field every day. I want to see what Colton Cowser looks like at the plate the rest of the way, because man, he needs to get back on track. We've talked about Rutschman. I mean, Henderson, Westberg, just stay healthy and be on the field and play. You know, on the pitching side, I mean, Bradish, Tyler Wells. Tyler Wells. I'm not at all convinced that he's going to be in the rotation next year, but I think he, if he's healthy, I think he could be a nice bullpen piece for them. But that's a huge if, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy who's he's had multiple elbow surgeries in his career. I mean, so that's a little bit of
I'm
a
waiting 3 years on him. I
sure.
any of
I'm
these guys that are hurt, I don't, yeah, I just
no,
don't know what to say about it.
I no, I understand that, but at the same time, that's how you have to look at all pitchers, though, right? I mean,
In the
Corbin Burns.
modern era, sure.
Right, Corbin Burns was durable until he's not anymore. Gerrit Cole was really durable until he's not anymore. I mean, every team deals with that. That's why you better have inventory and you better stock up. And I don't think it's a coincidence when you look at the what the 16 players that the Orioles acquired, 16 minor league players, 11 were pitchers. You know, we've seen the last I've said it the last couple drafts, even going back before this year. It's not been first round guys, right? It hasn't been second round, but they have drafted more pitchers. It doesn't mean that it's fixed. No, of course not. But when you have more of an inventory, that means you have more flexibility then to make moves, like the Orioles did 2 winters ago when they dealt off DL Hall and Joey Ortiz, who were not at any point viewed as Jackson Holliday or as Samuel Bisaio. And yet they got Corbin Burns for them. So I'm not saying they're going to be able to pull off a deal exactly like that again, but having more minor league inventory now, they should have the ability and the flexibility and the wherewithal to be able to pull off a couple moves. Now, it might involve trading a Colton Cowser or a Dylan Beavers or and Adley Rutschman, who the heck knows, right? I mean, again, we're just spitballing here. When you're having the kind of a disastrous
Hey, dude, if they
season that
wanted
they've had.
Mason Miller, would you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of thing. Like, I don't know if they take Adley Rutschman in that kind of a deal, but that's the kind of stuff you're gonna have to give
You're
up
gonna have
if
to
you're
just look at it. I mean, look, and let's be
you're
clear.
gonna have to give to get, and that's why I mentioned Colton Cowser to begin with.
That
That's
doesn't
all.
have to, and that's not the only way they're gonna be able to do it, because they do have a lot of money coming off the books. They did spend a lot of money, albeit only committed for 2025 money, but it was a lot nonetheless.
Well, they don't have
That.
anybody coming up the way Mullins was going to cost the money, or Mountcastle, tendered guys, you know,
I mean,
arbitration guys. They don't. Dean Kramer will get a little bit of money, right?
yeah, I mean, you know, and that's why I said Mountcastle, you know, considering where he's going to be last year of his arbitration, probably is a non-tender or a trade for, you know, you're what you're hoping for with Ryan Mountcastle, and look, this would not come at the expense of Cobie Mayo. You're hoping Ryan Mountcastle looks somewhat like the old Ryan Mountcastle over the last 2 months, and you use him as part of a package for a pitcher or whatever it might be. So, you know, there are a lot of possibilities here. And let's be clear, I'm not talking in terms of wins and losses, because I'm guessing it's going to be way more ugly than pretty for the most part. But the individual evaluations, individual performers, like I said, you know, my little wrestling promo that I cut on the young core, you know, I want to see those guys step up. Those guys need to become leaders now, right? I mean, Cedric Mullins was a leader. Ryan O'Hearn was a leader. You know, and I'm not saying that they were leaders in the same vein of like what Frank Robinson did for the Orioles when he arrived in 1966, but they were veteran players that younger guys looked to. Now it's like, hey, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, like you guys aren't. Gunnar's still, Gunnar's 24. I don't want to make it out, but Adley Rutschman's 27. Like that's not young at all in baseball terms anymore, right? I mean, I don't want to hear that excuse. Like,
Yeah, I saw him on the post game. Just the whole body language, just.
oh, his interactions with the media, I don't think is the most accurate way to portray how he might interact with his teammates. But yeah, I mean, we talked about this last
It's
offseason.
not inspiring.
That's fine. Have I been inspired talking about this team in a long time? I haven't been. Laureano was a guy in his short time was kind of viewed as, hey, so let me be clear, just because they've cleared the deck and they've created runway for their young guys, and that's a good thing to play out the rest of a season like the season they're having. I mean, what was Ryan O'Hearn finishing out the year with the Orioles going to do, right? I mean, what was Cedric Mullins going to do finishing out the year with the Orioles, right? I mean, presumably you weren't going to extend Mullins. I mean, maybe there's a scenario where they re-sign O'Hearn at the right price. Sure, I'm not going to dismiss it. Is it likely? Probably not. But at the same time, you want to evaluate these young guys from that standpoint too. And I still would say, this isn't going to be that you just line up nine young four players as far as your position guys and you're going to be done with it. They need to go get a bat of some sort, and I'm hoping it's someone who has some veteran quality to them, I mean, in some way, right? It doesn't need to be necessarily the biggest rah-rah guy in the world, but someone who's going to bring credibility. We've talked about this with the manager, whoever the manager is going to be. I'm hoping it's someone that's going to bring some credibility in a way that, no disrespect, but Tony Mancino doesn't bring as a rookie manager who's the third base coach playing the manager the rest of the way, right? So that's going to be important. The coaching staff, who they fill out to be in their coaching staff, that's going to be important, right? I mean, there's a lot to do. I mean,
There's still a big transplant that's going to happen with this team.
oh, absolutely. This is a heavy undertaking that Mike Elias has here. And I don't feel sorry for him. He made his bed. He's got to sleep in it now, right? I mean, there were missteps. Sure, was there bad luck and some things that you couldn't foresee? No question. But they've got to adjust. And if he doesn't,
Well,
then
the margin for error when you're spending money is different than with the Dodgers and the Yankees. It
sure.
always has been.
Sure. Always has been, right? And even if you felt the Orioles were spending to a level that was the most they could spend to being reasonable, right? It still wouldn't be anywhere close to those teams. So yeah, you got to be smart, right? We've talked about
Well,
this.
your Rutschmans and your Hendersons and your Holidays have to be as advertised,
Sure,
all of
no
them.
question. No question. I mean, not all of them in the sense that that not every top 100 prospect pans out. But when you have seven or eight or nine of those guys, five or six of them better be really, really good then, right? If only two of them are, then you're looking at this being
You
a way
can't
different.
buy enough Tyler
Then you're
O'Neills.
talking about it.
Well, especially when you don't have the pitching. Right off the bat,
Sure.
they don't have the pitching. They just don't.
And that's why I focus on the young core from the standpoint of saying, if they end up not being as good as advertised, and we're talking a year from now in similar terms about this young core, then they will be, at some point, they will be re-entering a rebuild, because that doesn't add up, right? There aren't
Dude,
enough
they
free agent.
can't win 79 games next year and, continue and flutter around and be 8 games under 500 at the
Oh,
All-Star
without
game
making
next year.
changes. I mean, and let's be clear, there are different ways you arrive to that. Now, the young core could be playing really well, and Elias completely screwed the pooch from a pitching standpoint again. Then that becomes a
Well, I
very
don't know about
simple.
screwing the pooch with the pitching, like. This is not going to be easy to do,
Oh, I understand,
even with an open checkbook. If he could sign the three best pitchers in the market in the offseason to unlimited deals, I
but
still
you
don't
don't.
know that they'd have enough pitching.
Sure, and that's fair. But you know what I'd say to that? Well, should have capitalized 2 years ago way more at the deadline than you did. Should have capitalized way more than you did a year and a half ago, than you ended up doing.
Well, Scuba
Because,
was available at one point, but it was Holiday. That's how this works.
I mean, and it's funny. I've heard different things from Detroit reporters. I mean, some have said he was available, some have said nah, not even. But regardless, it's water under the bridge now.
Lynn Hennig told me he was available, and he's covered the Tigers for 60 years, so.
But my point with that is, and this is where we talk. This is where people get so cynical and where they don't trust these rebuild plans, because there is always a path of messaging to kind of throw have the carrot out in front, saying, "Hey, we're another year or two away." I mean, the Pirates have been doing that for since they sold off Barry Bonds. I mean, that's really where the Pirates have been over all that time. Hey, we got a 5-year plan. We got a
Well, the
5-year
Padres
plan.
and the Mariners, they're just the
Yeah, I mean,
Indians. Indians have been better than that, but yeah, I mean, it's hard. The Brewers, it's hard to climb that mountain.
but that's where when you're in a spot like the Orioles were in 2 years ago, and in their defense, they did go get Corbin Burns, right? They couldn't necessarily foresee what was going to happen with Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez last year, and now that bleeds into a year later with Burns gone. But
They could have seen Kimbrel coming.
you need
You
to
could have seen Charlie Morton coming. You could you could
if
th
you
there's some of this you could see and say,
if you could if you recall, I
I
was
remember the
not.
day they signed Ubaldo Jimenez, and I'm like,
Yeah,
I
well,
see
yeah,
that coming.
but the Kimbrel thing, I wasn't enamored with that from Jump Street. Now, I didn't think it would end as badly as it did. I didn't think it'd be so bad that he wouldn't make it through the season. But my point with that, and we've talked about this with the Ravens even, right? It's real easy to talk in terms of, oh, we're a year ahead, this team's window is wide open. Those things can change really quickly, and sometimes not to
Lamar's
be
almost
mean.
30.
And look, I mean, he's 28. He's going to be great for a long time, but you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if, heaven forbid, some offensive lineman falls into his knee during a joint practice or something, right? I mean, you never really know. That's why you don't want, when you are within striking distance, like the Orioles were a couple years ago, looking back, man, it really hurts, because now you're very much fearing that that was the high water mark. At the time, you're thinking, wow, this is the beginning of something really, really special. You and I talked about it last June, thinking like, oh my gosh, is this going to be one of the all-time great Orioles clubs? And we've seen what's happened in the 13 months since then and how drastically it's changed. So, man, when the iron's hot, you've got to strike. You've got to take advantage. And hopefully that is a lesson that Mike Elias takes from what's happened here as he tries to reload and revamp and tweak and get this thing back on the tracks, that if the Orioles are in a position a year from now or 2 years from now where things are looking really up again, boy, they better take advantage, because this has really been painful to go through. I mean, it really is. And the guys that are left in that clubhouse feel that way right now too. But everyone's got to take blame for it, starting with the general manager, and overwhelmingly the general manager, because the buck stops with him. We're going to see how this plays out. It's going to be very, very interesting. But again, my overall takeaway, just to put a bow on the trade deadline, is looking at these 16 players that they acquired. I think it's way more about looking at that as part of a greater inventory that they now have in the minor leagues, that it's time to go make some trades. Sign some free agents as well. Absolutely. Do all the things that you've done, diamonds in the rough, minor league signings, all that. Go find another Albert Suarez. Great. I'm not saying don't do that, but boy, there's some heavy lifting that needs to be done, and you sh hopefully now have more resources to make some impact trades. Go out and sign some free agents. Hope that the young core improves. Hope that you stay healthy and report to Sarasota next February, hoping to put 2025 behind you, because man, it's been a nightmare. And what was inevitable for the last 2 months all came to a head and became official with the deadline, with the Orioles selling off the rest of what was nine total veterans that they traded.
Sold off a Sir Anthony for a Boston and a whole bunch of other name soup guys that you can find out at Baltimore Positive. Our website's back up. It was down for like 10 minutes on Thursday night. It is all the gerbils and the hamsters are running in the cages and everything's is cool. He is Luke. You can find him, Baltimore Luke. He'll be out in Owings Mills doing Raven stuff all weekend as we get ready for fake football next week. I can't wait. We had it on the television on Thursday night, a little fake football as well to get the party started. It's football season. It's sort of baseball off season, in season. They're sort of solidified into last place, which means for our 27th anniversary that begins on Sunday, we'll be eating for the month. That's what we do. When they lose, we eat. We're nervous about the Ravens. We eat. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Lucky Sevens Doublers as well as the Pressure Lux to give away. Our friends at Curio Wellness. I have my Curio Wellness shirt on the interwebs. Celebrating 27 years, Curio Wellness is our presenting sponsor. And we're going to be out on the road eating my 27 favorite things to eat. One of them I actually ordered for carryout on Thursday night. And I was like eating it. And I'm like, this is really, really good. So every one of these items is something when I go to eat it, I'm like, yeah, this is on the list, and this is really high up the list. I did that at Costas 2 weeks ago. So we're going to be at Beaumont on Thursday, the 7th, over in Catonsville. We're going to be down in Ocean City the following week. And then at all of our sponsors, from Coco's, Costas, we're going to be all over the place at the end of the month, eating good stuff and talking about it to celebrate 27 years. And, hey, get Isaiah Likely healthy. Keep everybody healthy out in Owings Mills. We'll play some football on September 7th. So, class dismissed. Everybody go away. Come back September 7th when things matter. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Trade deadline deals in Baltimore Positive.